The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy
with Nissan
on News Talk.
Well, now, 5 years ago this month, Leo Varadkar took power as Taoiseach. He made his first address thanking Enda Kenny and the Dáil.
On a personal note, I would like to add that were it not for Enda Kenny, I have no doubt that I would not be standing here in this seat today. Because of his stewardship of our party, I was able to regain a seat for our party, first on the council and then in the Dáil. And in fact, I took my seat in this Dáil for the first time this day 10 years ago. As of many other people, in fact, so... congratulations, class of 2007. He also gave me the opportunity to serve on the front bench and then as a minister, and an opportunity to demonstrate my ability and potential. And without opportunity, there is no hope, and there can be no progress. And this is a theme I will turn to later. His leadership also enabled me to become an equal citizen in my own country only 2 short years ago, and to aspire to hold this office, an aspiration which I once thought was beyond my reach, at least if I chose to be myself.
Yeah, that was Leo Varadkar thanking Enda Kenny for the opportunity to become Taoiseach 10 years ago this week. John Lee is with me, the executive editor of the Irish Daily Mail. John, right, before we talk about accomplishments and legacy and all of that, it makes it sound as if he's passed away or something. Liam Bracker's perfectly fine and well, as far as we know. There was a significance, wasn't there? And he touched on it there, to him taking over that role.
I think we, you know, you probably had me here to talk about successes and failures. And, you know, the outstanding success is almost a spiritual thing with Leo Varadkar. I think he's become the embodiment of our metamorphosis as a nation, from one that was the most socially conservative in Europe not so long ago to being a young, liberal, confident democracy that we are now. He is a gay man. I think maybe as recently as 20 years ago, that would not probably have been deemed possible in Ireland for our Taoiseach our former Taoiseach Taoiseach now, to have been that person. He is also the son of an immigrant, a man from India. Again, a symbol in many ways of what Ireland has become. That we, you know, I think 20, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, it was predominantly a white Roman Catholic country. That is no longer the case. And a lot of the international attention on Leo Varadkar's appointment as Taoiseach in 2017 focused on that, on how much Ireland had changed. So that is what he symbolises. But of course, he is very much his own man, and he is a distinctively... I think confrontational politician. So he's not somebody who has formed his career precisely on being a non-confrontational politician, using his you know, exotic or different background to further himself. He furthers himself with political skill too.
All right. Now that we've said that, let's talk about his successes and failures. We'll start with the latter. We'll try and end on a positive note, is what I'm getting at. So failures. I mean, where do you start? Is there a particular political legacy that is the blackest black mark against him?
Well, politicians, and I've been around them most of my working life, quantify success, and not necessarily in the way that you and I might quantify it, with electoral success, and equate it with electoral success. And I'll fudge it in some ways. You know, there are a lot of reasons why that hasn't come about, but he could only be classed as a failure in that sense, that he is not... I've been around him at general elections. He's not a natural old-time Tammany Hall backslammer, backslapper in that sense. He hasn't got that old-time political skill, but he's a modern politician in many ways. But that hasn't really helped him when it comes to electoral issues. He had a hugely successful leadership campaign, which I'm sure Enda Kenny was not appreciating. It certainly wasn't there for any other reason than to further himself into that job. But a key part of that electoral campaign was, at the time, to promise Fine Gael TDs that he would not only save them seats, their seats, but increase their seat total. Their seat total in the only general election that he has led them into in 2020 fell from 50 to 35. Now, one can say Fine Gael were in the process of dropping back to their natural level, perhaps, with the advance of Fianna Fáil back to where they had been, and Sinn Féin coming forward.
But bad timing, though, as well, wasn't it? I mean, every electorate gets sick of the same over a certain period of time. You know, people were sick of people were sick of the Tories by the time John Major took over. People were sick of Gordon Brown by the time he took over the Labour Party. Or they were sick of Labour, rather, by the time he took over. You don't get it in the States because of term limits. There was a bit of tiredness and fatigue maybe with Fine Gael in government.
And that would be to qualify. If you look back in history and the history of this country, by the time that Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil finish their coalition with the Greens in 2025, they get that far. Fine Gael will have been in power for 14 years. There are very few. Obviously, Fine Gael have never done that in their history. Fianna Fáil have done it a couple of times. I remember back in the Dáil, the mantra that was thrown at Fianna Fáil in 2011 was the been here 14 years. That, besides fatiguing people, has its own kind of effect in that there's almost an expectation now in Fine Gael of something of a failure in the next general election, because they just believe that the public will have decided by then that they've had enough. So it means every barrier is thrown up against them. And as you say, there are term limits in the United States for a reason. Margaret Thatcher got 11 years as Prime Minister. People simply got sick. I watched a documentary on her recently and people were simply sick of the sight of her. Tony Blair was 10 years as Prime Minister. Then on the other side, Leo is only 5 years there, so...
Yeah, so maybe a few years yet. Before we talk about what might happen post the next election, were he to suddenly announce today he was stepping down, what are his successes? What's his legacy in the asset column?
Now, I would, again, qualify that electoral issue with the fact that Irish politics, as we go on, is dissipating. There is a greater spread of the vote. People have a far greater choice. And I don't think we're ever going to see Fine Gael, for instance, get back to the 76 seats they had in 2011. So in that time, look at what went on in the world since he was 20... became Taoiseach in 2017. We were in the maws of Brexit. It could be said, it definitely is the case, that he marshalled us through that that minefield very well. Wasn't necessarily thanked for it by the electorate. The next big event for him was the 2018 referendum on abortion. Again, that plays into his image as a person that is been there as Ireland has matured, and that was a resounding success for those who campaigned for women's abortion rights. And he was at the forefront of that, and he was Taoiseach. Then there was a pandemic. In some ways you can see it now that politicians aren't getting the thanks that they, I think maybe in this studio we predicted that they wouldn't. It was a catastrophe for so many people on an individual level and a family level, but it's almost seen as though they were expected to do that government, the two governments, that they were expected to pump those amounts of money into the country's economy. But when you look at someone like countries like Britain, and I was only reading in The Economist there last week how they are in dire, dire trouble economically on data that I wouldn't necessarily understand to do with productivity, because of principally the latest hit, which was the pandemic, how massively successful Ireland has been in coming out of the pandemic with the growth figures we have, with full unemployment, which is, if you listen to international commentators, astounds them that we are so successful. And then he was part of forming the unprecedented coalition of the old civil war opponents with Fianna Fáil. So, you know, the achievements are manifold. Whether those achievements row into electoral success is to be seen.
If they don't row into electoral success the next time around, whether that's 2025 or sooner, can you see him as leader of the opposition?
I never have. I don't think it suits his personality. I've tried to have this conversation with Leo Varadkar in the past. He doesn't want to do it. They never do. But we have yet to see a frontline politician in Ireland have a hugely successful post-politics career. We don't. Our Taoiseach have not traditionally done
that. But
they're
usually fairly long in the tooth by the time we.
Yeah, I suppose we're inclined to forget that Brian Cowan, was he barely 50 when he stepped down? But there was a particular reason why his post politics career wasn't going to be great, because of the nature of the government that he led and the nature of his downfall. So it is there for him to do it. I think he has that CV that would be extraordinarily attractive to whoever does it these days. We saw Nick Clegg go on to Facebook, the former British Deputy Prime Minister. He's a qualified doctor. That is a vocation in many ways rather than a career. And I think if anyone is to make a success of it all post-politics, it will be Leo Varadkar. I think he has that about him. Whether he wants to do that, we don't know.
Within the party, within the parliamentary party, how universally liked or not, or maybe liked is unfair. I mean, that brings an element of personality into it. How universally supported or not is he?
Again, I think of that documentary, I suppose it's fresh as in my mind, discussing Margaret Thatcher. And Michael Heseltine said, you know, people have to remember that we're not friends, we're colleagues. They rarely are proper friends, because the day will come when you don't. Now, if you look back, if people were friends of his that we could point to, like Owen Murphy, he has left politics. Michael Darcy was principally responsible for his electoral success as to become leader. He was a senator, formerly a minister. He has left politics. When you look around the diminished numbers-wise Fine Gael parliamentary party, it's hard to see many allies, natural allies there for him. That's what's going to make this reshuffle in December so fascinating. And it's fascinating, again, in politics, and I suppose it consumes you sometimes. Already in Leinster House this week, all the discussions about a reshuffle is going to happen next December. That's the way they think, because that's progression, that's momentum. And I would really think he has to do something special there. And that means bringing people might be seen as enemies into become his new friends. People like Simon Harris might be brought closer rather than pushed away.
All right. Well, listen, maybe it's a bit too soon to be writing his political epitaph just yet. There's a few rounds
never
to go.
Never write off that man, I'd say.
In the story, a few more chapters. John, pleasure as always. John Lee is executive editor of the Irish Daily Mail.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With Nissan.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.